Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Today we're covering a very special film to many of our listeners, but to one patron in particular, The Sandlot from 1993 from writer and director David Mickey Evans. I should say co-writer. It's also written by Robert Gunter, I'm going to say.
Yeah, don't put some spec on Gunter's name.
Yeah.
All right?
I'm not going to say Gunter.
It's Gunter. Probably,
it's Gunter.
Yeah.
German native.
Yeah.
I assume.
Roberto Gunter.
You went with two different nationalities there.
You're damn right I did. He's a global man.
That's right.
Culture man, Robert Gunter.
With us today, helping us break down The Sandlot, is one of our very best friends, one of our patrons, Will. How are you, Will?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
We're wonderful. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from the Great White North, good old Canada.
You guys might want to work on that moniker. It sounds a little iffy in 2023.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even really think about it that until now. You're probably right. The multicultural North.
Yeah, the great diverse North.
Yeah, the diverse North. We say white because there's quite a lot of snow.
No, that's I know that. I'm just saying, workshop
wait,
it.
Wait, what? I've been misled my entire life.
What's all this controversy about? So we're talking about The Sandlot. Will, walk us through a little bit why you chose The Sandlot. What Sandlot? What's your history with this film? Do they even have baseball in Canada?
Yes, they have baseball in Canada. They have one team that's in the league. It's the Toronto Blue Jays. The Sandlot for me, like I moved to a really small town and there was 8 different kids that kind of lived like within 500-600 meters of us behind a big field. And we'd all play baseball. This movie came out when I was born. My dad taped it over a family like VHS tape. So when
he taped
put
over
it in the VHS player. Yeah, he taped it over. He taped over like a family Christmas or something like that with The Sandlot.
That's fair.
I know. No. And so we'd put it in, you'd see like a minute and a half of like us like walking around our like home. And then it was just The Sandlot, the movie. And so he taped over the whole thing. I loved this movie. I thought I loved how everybody became best friends. I loved baseball as a kid. And, you know, the soundtrack is amazing. Like Booker T with like Green Onions is like such a classic. I've always loved that so much. And like, it's a very jazzy, fun, like upbeat movie. Yeah. It's like a kid's movie, but like they swear a lot. And well, they say like shit a couple times in it. And I don't know. It's really fun. I've always really, really, really loved this movie. And, yeah, that's why I wanted to do that with the podcast with you guys today.
Hey, well, you know, when it comes to your dad, just remember, you know, family Christmas, you know, Family Christmas gets remembered, but Sandlot never becomes legend, right?
That's right. So.
It was a worthy exactly thing to tape over, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about priorities when you're raising a family. Those are the kind of things you have to think about. You know, what do you want to remember?
One thing I want to ask you, Will, is, so Chris, you failed to mention that usually when we do these patron chosen movies, mm-hmm. it's just you and I talking back and forth.
Yeah.
But Will's here because he opted to support Streaming Things at the highest level, the $75 tier.
What's that tier called?
The Kristen Stewart patron saint of Streaming Things.
That's right.
Will is one of those weird patron saints. And so I just wanted to add, like, that tier, not only do you get to pick the movie, but you also get the option to guest host, which Will has obviously elected to do. Not everyone has done that. Some people opt out. Yeah, some people are like, hey, I just wanted to give you money. I don't want to be on the podcast at all. But Will wanted to be on. So I want to ask two questions for you, Will. Question one.
Yep.
Why would you support this dumbass show that much? And B, what made you want to come and hang out with us today and talk about Sandlot?
Well, the reason why I want to support this dumbass show so much is because, I mean, I've been a big fan since I think most of, like, the patrons and stuff, season four of Streaming Things. That's when, like, I got introduced to you guys with the podcast, and I, you know, immediately fell in love with you, Chris, and Andy. Like, I thought it was just, like, such a fun, podcast. Like, you guys there's lots of good inside jokes. You do great breakdowns. I've watched so many different things now because of recommendations from you guys. And I think you guys are, like, you know, homies from across the pond. So I've always I want to support that. I love seeing people flourish in their art, and I think that's really fun. And that's why I wanted to support it. And I wanted to talk about The Sandlot today because I wanted to try to pick a better movie than Grind, maybe.
That's right. You were the one who picked Grind initially.
Yeah. I didn't get to do that episode with you guys, but, like, that movie is the worst, but it holds a special place in my heart too for how bad it is. Like, I'm a skateboarder. I grew up in the 2000s skating. Like, Bam Margera was, like, the first, like, that was the first skate deck that I ever got. And I just thought it was, like, a stupid, silly skate movie. There's not a lot of them, so I thought you guys would have fun with that garbage fire for sure. Oh, so like I thought I'd try to.
Like I said in that review, if I had watched that movie when it came out, I would have loved it, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I didn't. I watched it in my 30s.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you suggested that movie, and I will be forever grateful for you suggesting Grind for us to watch because it gave us. Which has a permanent home on the soundboard.
The ballad of our times.
It really is.
By across the pond, I assume you meant, like, Michigan.
New York is under one of you guys, right?
So. Yeah, man. There's a lot of ponds up there. We're really grateful for you listening to us for years and for supporting us and hanging out with us in the Discord and taking the time to be on the show. It's an honor for us to have you here to talk about this movie. So thank you for all of your support. We literally couldn't do what we do without you, people like you. So we appreciate that so much.
You're the real heroes here.
Yeah. And if you've never listened to the show before and you're wondering why our highest tier is named the Kristen Stewart patron saint tier, that's because we respect magnificence in this household.
Yes.
And that's it. That's the only reason why. It's not weird at all. It's not weird. Don't make it weird.
You don't make it weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's not weird, Chris.
What? What else is not weird?
The Sandlot.
That's right. That's right, baby. Steve, what is your history with The Sandlot? Do you have any?
I do have history with The Sandlot. So not extensively, because everyone, you know, the latest controversy of old Steve on Discord is my famous distaste for baseball.
Oh, yeah.
So and that was like when I was a kid, too. I didn't like playing baseball, but I did love this movie at the time because this is like the perfect movie for like a young boy, I think, because it's like.
How do you feel about kickball?
Love kickball.
Yeah.
Big fan of kickball.
It's basically baseball with feet.
But feet. And I played soccer. So you're a big feet fan. That. Yeah, I love feet. Put it on my epitaph. Put it on my headstone. Steve loved feet. Mm-hmm. All right.
Period.
I loved using them. I loved standing on them. Okay. I loved walking
using
on them.
Using them for what?
For walking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, the This movie was great. I actually read in my research for this movie, I read a review from Ebert. And he said, Roger Ebert.
My cousin Frank Ebert.
I don't fuck with Frank Ebert. Ebert had this great line where it's a movie that makes you nostalgic for a childhood you probably didn't have, which is true. Like, I didn't have a Sandlot where me and a bunch of neighborhood goons would go and we had a mythology built around a local dog and all that stuff. And none of my friends sexually assaulted a lifeguard.
But Wendy Peppercorn.
Very different times. But I did, you know, I think we can all relate to that time in our lives where we were young enough to where our parents would let us, you know, maybe, you know, some of the Gen Z people may be too young to experience this, but you know, when we were younger, we were able to, like, you know, our parents would be like, all right, go play. Like, my mom had a big, like, ranch cattle bell, and I would go and hang out and play with my local friends in the neighborhood. And when it was time to come home, she would ring that bell because we didn't have cell phones then. So I would just be outside playing with my bros in the summer. I'd hear the bell like, oh, sorry, guys, got to go home. The bells are ringing. Mm. And so I think we can all relate to just going on these, like, little mini adventures with our friends. Unsupervised by adults, because there's really, like, there's not a lot of adult presence in this movie except for Scotty's mom and stepdad Bill, but other than that, like, there's barely any adults. It's just these boys having an adventure, creating mythology and scaring each other, and it's just really, really adorable. I think.
No, I agree. I think this movie, I watched it with my son in preparation for the podcast, which I already owned it. Because, you know, he'd wanted to watch it a few months ago. So I've seen it a few times even recently and dozens of times throughout my life. Excuse me. And this movie is like a Christmas story.
Yeah.
It's just on repeat in most households, at least in America, for sure. And when I was a kid, it was just on TNT all the time. And it's got that comforting narration and it's just laced. It's nostalgia is in its DNA. And I like that review because I didn't have a childhood like this either, but there are elements of truth to it, like just goofing with your friends, like you talked about, and not understanding at all how the world works and trying to make sense of it with other 10-year-olds very poorly, you know, for some reason we're forced to do that. And that's what happened. Like, you know, I can remember just trying to figure out anatomy and real world events and geopolitics and just make sense of it with, like, by committee with other dumb kids. You know, I ate grass once and threw up everywhere.
So you're like my dogs, basically.
Yeah. Like, what I mean, this is the perfect story to tell you what I mean. I was outside in the snow about this age, probably a little younger, maybe six or so, but still. And I was playing in the snow, throwing snowballs without gloves. And
that's not safe.
I got to that near frostbite level of pain and numbness with my hands, right? Mm-hmm. So I ran. I didn't want to go inside because if I went inside, my parents would make me stay inside if I kept running in and out of the house. In or out, my dad would scream.
Yeah.
So I run to a neighbor's. I lived in an apartment complex. I went to a neighboring building, and there's like the dryer vent from the laundromat was active. Somebody was drying their clothes. So this hot fabric softened air was pouring out of this hole in the wall. I put my hands under it. And they started to thaw and warm up. And you know what happens when your frozen hands begin to warm, Steve?
Did you go into shock?
It's very painful because you're starting to get the feeling back, right? So I panicked at the burning sensation happening and thought, oh no, I've gotten them too hot. And I plunged them back in the snow.
Oh my God, Chris.
And that's what life is like as a kid. There should be, like, you can't think of everything as a parent to tell your kids because everything is just, some of it is common sense at this point. So you can't think to tell them before they go out in the snow, hey, if you get this feeling, it's going to be painful when you warm them up. That's not because they're too hot. Like,
yeah, you can't anticipate children all the time.
And that was a weird personal story, and that's what I'm famous for. But I feel like that's what this movie encapsulates, is a bunch of kids, like, trying to figure life out in the wrongest way possible. But it's mostly harmless. You pointed out with the Wendy Peppercorn incident. Mostly harmless and really endearing. But my son, I got to watch it through his eyes, who is a massive baseball fan. Mm-hmm. And
was he like the Sultan of SWAT?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he knows all this stuff. I mean, there's a line early on I've never caught before where it's because it's the summer of 1962 is where this summer takes place. And the narrator says early on that it's the same summer where Maury Wills broke the all time base stealing record. And I looked into that, and that's a true fact. In 1962, he beat the record set by Ty Cobb in 1915 by stealing 104 bases. So I was like, you know, and my son knew that. Like, oh, yeah, he beat Ty Cobb, you know, like.
Yeah, dummy.
Duh. And it's just interesting. It's fun. I never played baseball, but I played stick ball, like where you hit, take a stick and you hit a rock. Much more dangerous,
yeah,
really.
Ball, yeah. I mean, it's rocks.
Yeah. But it's just good time. It's good fun times, and I really enjoy this movie. I think it's harmless, timeless, in much the same way that A Christmas Story is. Like, a lot of people nowadays have tried to be like, I don't know if you've seen this revisionist history, where like Christmas Story is so ass. I'm so tired of it. It's like you can't even say that. Like, no one said it was good. It's just like
it's the Christmas
movie. Staple. It's a it's a strand of DNA in the culture. You know, like
I'm not a huge fan of A Christmas Story, but it's like that's what you watch around Christmas.
It's not meant to be analyzed in that way. You know what I mean? Like that sounds like a cop out to say, but I feel that way about The Sandlot. Like when I went to rate it, I'm like, rate it? What? This is just part of the culture. It's like rating.
I rate it a home run.
It's like rating the meal of breakfast. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You just do it. Everybody does it.
Yeah. You just Nike it.
Gonna get so many emails. I don't eat breakfast because.
actually.
You're missing the point. Also, I wanted to say, I forget who did it. I think it was Matt Singer, critic Matt Singer, but one of them, maybe Matt Patches, I get the Matts mixed up, talked about like, which sport is the most cinematic? And they tried to like rank them and think about it. And he came up with the idea that baseball is far and away, not even close, the most cinematic sport.
I would agree with that.
And I think he's correct.
I would also agree with that.
It's the only sport where like the actors can like walk to the pitcher's mound and have a scene and like there's time to breathe and make a movie of it where other sports.
You can't do that in basketball.
Maybe boxing. Boxing works great, obviously.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think there's so much cinema inherent with baseball.
Yeah. Well, in the 90s, there was like so many baseball movies in the 90s. It was like
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. There was
Bad News Bears.
The Rookie.
Late 80s. But yeah. No, I was thinking of Major League.
Yeah, Major League, yeah. I'm thinking of the kid that's like,
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield, yeah.
Christopher Lloyd.
A ton of baseball movies hit in the 90s. It was like, but you don't really see a lot of baseball movies nowadays, at least not this type of like 90s, aw shucks, ain't sports swell type of movies that were so prevalent back then.
Yeah, there's like a few Dennis Quaid B movies that my son loves that are, you know, coming out recently. Moneyball was the last one I could think of that was amazing.
Moneyball was great. Yeah,
what was that, 2010? I don't think it's as popular of a sport even, you know what I mean, as it was. I mean, this was like American, like I keep saying DNA, but like baseball is just so rooted in like American ideals.
Yeah.
You know, you get your chaw, you spit it. There's no crying in baseball. Tom Hanks said that.
A League of Our Own. There's another one.
Yeah.
There we go.
Great movie.
There we go. That is a great movie.
So yeah.
Will, you brought this movie towards us. I want to ask you, so in the movie, there are all the different kids. They all have, or most of them at least, have little nicknames. You've got Smalls, you got the Jet,
Squints.
You got Ham, Squints, the Heater,
Repeat.
For obvious reasons.
When you were kind of rolling around with your local kids, your friends in the neighborhood, did you all have like cool little street nicknames for each other?
Yeah, well, I mean, my Discord name is Soxy, right? That was the nickname that I got because I always had like really long, cool, different socks on all the time. Mm. That or Wee Man, because I'm a twin and I was the shorter one, so it was that or Wee Man. So,
I never
had Austin Powers reference.
I never had a cool nickname from my friends, and I don't think I gave them nicknames either. It's like, hello, Mike. Hello, Chris. You know, we weren't creative enough to be like, yo, two eyes.
two eyes.
This is my buddy Spats.
Sure. I can't. Yeah. I mean, I had a friend, Little Timmy, because he was Timmy Jr. His dad was named Tim. So Little Timmy was like my first best friend. But I mean, that's, you know, low hanging fruit. We had some goofy names when I started smoking weed. But, you know.
Can you imagine what this movie would have been if they were smoking weed?
Oh, yeah. It would have been closer to my life.
That's like, s'more scene alone.
Like, we called one guy Zoden. I can't remember why. I think it started because my friend was really high, and his name is Jordan, and he called Jordan Zordon with, like, Power Rangers.
Like Power Rangers, yeah.
And it just morphed into this morphed
Mighty Morphin Mighty Morphed
into the Zode over time. But anyway, yeah, it's dumb shit like that. But no, not really. You know, like I said, wasn't as cool as this. I did want to throw out. I did have an Erector set.
Oh, yeah.
I was nowhere near as successful of an engineer as this young man, but I had one. I mean, he built
like a bomb diffusion robot. Basically. Yeah.
It was very impressive. But there's like a Chekhov's Erector set early on where it shows his talent, you know, when he throws accidentally hits his mom in the head with it.
Which, oh my God.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen this movie since I was a kid, right? So when his mom showed up, I was like, fucking Karen Allen's the mom. I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. I was losing my mind.
Yeah. I was
famously Indiana Jones' love interest,
yeah.
Karen Allen from Raiders.
Handsome woman, my dad would have said. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, there's
Dennis Leary
as Bill.
Yeah.
Which something about Dennis Leary, as soon as I couldn't remember the movie as well. Cause again, I haven't seen it since I was like very little. And so when he showed up on screen, I didn't remember anything about the parents. I only remember the boys, the Beast, and then James Earl Jones at the end.
Yeah.
So when Dennis Leary showed up, I'm like, he's a shit stepdad. I just know it. Cause it's Dennis Leary.
Right.
Cause he's always kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
When he hit that song, I'm an asshole, yo, yeah. Yo. Remember that?
Yeah.
He is a shitty stepdad, though. Like, in the most 60s way, maybe. Like, he doesn't do anything overtly wrong. I'm not going to call Child Protective Services or anything. But, like, when you look at this movie, you're like, oh, this is why so many people have problems expressing their feelings, especially from Gen X. And, you know, like, the guy is like... So whatever to this, most of the time when you have like a stepdad son dynamic, there is a, you're not my dad kind of vibe that movies go for. That's the truth that they want to tell. This movie, Scotty is super open to it.
He's on board.
Hi dad. What's up? You want to, and the guy is just like, what's up? No, not really.
Completely.
Like he's just always sneering at him. Like, what are you doing in my room? You smell bad. You know, I hate kids. Your mom's hot. That's the only reason I'm here. And I'm just like, this is so weird that that's the vibe they chose to go with. Like, you want to help me play catch? Not really.
No.
It's super intuitive. You'll get it.
I'm busy. I'm busy doing business.
Yeah, whatever he's doing. I'm doing business.
Yeah, he's like, I love how he's on the kitchen table, like, doing something. He's like, the mayor's going to have my ass if I don't finish this piece of paper.
Yeah.
Like, dude, this is the 50s. You don't, like, have to Zoom your boss in, like, a minute, you know?
And his mom is mostly awesome, but she also kind of sucks at like really crucial emotional moments. For instance, I was chuckling. She comes into Scotty's bedroom early on in the movie and she goes, Scotty, do you have any friends? Any?
Please.
And he's like, not really. And she's like, oh, why? You suck. You know why you don't? That attitude. You're asked to be around. You look at your stepdad. Doesn't want to be around you. And I don't blame him. You know, like, what is this pep talk?
You just hit me with a Erector set.
Yeah. This is why you're never going to succeed in life. Wendy Peppercorn. Never going to get her.
I just love the idea that all even the parents in the neighborhood are like Wendy Peppercorn.
Well, it's like Stranger That's Things with Billy.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny. But yeah, Scotty's new in town. The movie opens up with him and with his future job as an announcer and talking about how the babe called his shot. By the way, is the origin of the term pickle as like a problem that you're stuck in? Does that originate in baseball? In the pickle? I didn't Google it. I just wanted to put that to you guys. Because that's what
I
it seems.
I also haven't Googled that.
Well, when you're caught in a pickle, you're in a tough situation, right? But a pickle in baseball is when you're running back and forth between two bases, right? And trying to outsmart the two throwers. And I was like, I think that's where that came from.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see where that comes from. I also liked how in the opening, it's like the old Dodgers stadium is where he's walking through with like in the opening credits.
Oh, really?
I thought that was like really fun. Yeah, that was like the old Dodgers stadium that he's walking to get to his little announcer thing there.
Nice.
So according to MLB.com,
okay,
the origin of the term in a pickle originates from William Shakespeare, The Tempest.
Oh, my goodness. I should have known that. Yeah. That's more my alley.
Yeah, I know.
Ghost? Willie? Big baseball fan, old Bill? Bill Shakey's?
Bill Shakespeare. He loved to stick ball. The funny thing about adult Scotty is that the narration is actually the director. What's the director's name? I don't have it. I just moved it, but he is the narrator, but also a separate actor is playing him.
David Mickey Evans.
Yeah. So the director is the narrator, but the physical actor is a different actor.
Well, the director's like, I'm not wearing that fucking hat with that absurdly long bill.
Can we talk about Scotty's dumbass hat?
Sure.
What is that?
I don't know. It's like a bass fishing hat I feel like that's his old dad's hat. And like even his stepdad's like, that hat is fucking, that's why I don't talk to you.
Yeah.
That hat. And you got your shirt tucked in. I don't know what's going on right now. Even the other kids are like, Benny's like, don't wear that hat. That's the number one rule for tomorrow. But then he's got it on again as an adult.
Well, it's a different hat as an adult. Is it? Yeah, it's different. It's got a
I thought that was how like they identified that's the same character for us.
Well, I think it's...
And the hat doesn't look as dumb because he's an adult and he fits a little better into it. I'm going to check. You're probably right. Let me see. The Sandlot.
I think it's hat. Slightly different.
Googling. This is him as a kid. Oh my God, that hat is so... It looks so like big. Somebody photoshopped it to fuck with you.
It looks like, you know how... Do you remember Scary Movie 3? There's that gag where the sheriff's hat brim just keeps getting larger and larger every time it cuts back to her. I feel like they were doing that to this poor fucking kid.
I'm going to buy it. I want to wear it.
You want to wear that? Yeah, as an adult, he's wearing a normal billed hat with the same fish logo.
But doesn't it look... normal because
no,
he's an adult now.
It's a normal build hat.
I don't see the point. I think it's the same hat. He grew into it, Steve. What? That doesn't make any sense. That he would buy another one. I guess he did. He just fucking loves fishing. Hey, Matt, that's what I'm really good at.
Yeah, these kids, they make fun of me because I don't know who the babe is, but I know what open mouth bass is.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know Jimmy Tuna Williams, famous bass fisher from Louisiana? I do. That's my hero.
Good boy.
He pointed to a spot in the pond once and pulled a fish right out of it, just like the babe. Anyway, yeah.
But I do love how adorable little Scotty is, because you can tell, like...
He's earnest.
Here's the thing. When I watch this movie, there's a whole group of kids, and I always try to put myself in the movie. Like, okay, which of these kids would I be? Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, man, I sure would be cool to be Benny the Jet Rodriguez, but I wasn't that kid. Oh, man. I would even take Ham because that kid's funny as hell. But no, I would probably be Scotty. Just the scene where he's like getting catch. He's doing the catch with Bill and he just doesn't know what to do with his hands. And he keeps like rubbing his hands on his back awkwardly.
And he just runs the ball over to him because he already knows he can't throw.
It was like, oh, man, it's so painful to watch this now as an adult because I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was me.
Yeah.
with my poor brothers, just like this fucking kid. I don't get him.
What's wrong with him? Will, who would you be? Which of the kids would you be?
Honestly, I'd probably be like, or something like that.
Yeah.
I think, and then that. Like, that's definitely who I'd be for sure. I'd like to be Scotty because obviously like main character and like, you know, he's trying to be super, like, he's trying to get friends and stuff like that. But I'd definitely be Like, I'm kind of a side character. I have a little catchphrase and that's about it.
I think I would be Ham.
You think you would be Ham?
Yeah, I was a big kid and I was funny and, you know, loved some s'mores.
Were you great at... What was that?
So great at Disney people. Tam is just amazing at dissing people. Like, the guy just has chops on it.
What, a kid
just
way,
quick
right?
out of the gun.
You play like a girl. And everybody's like, come on. I think I would have been Ham. That's closest to my personality.
Yeah, do you want to, would you come up with verbal barbs such as crap face?
Oh, for sure.
Scab eater, butt sniffer, pus licker,
dang,
fart smeller, you eat dog for breakfast. You mix your Wheaties with your mama's toe jam. This is my favorite one. I laughed so hard at this one. It was the other kid that says it, but he's like, you bought for apples in the toilet. And you like it.
Just to be clear. Anybody could be put in that situation, but you particularly enjoy it.
You queued up in line for that.
You paid for tickets. By the way, is there any better reveal than the James Earl Jones at the end of this movie? And like the best version of James Earl Jones. It's not Vader.
Blind?
Oh, by the way, there's that funny moment where he's telling the story and then there's a beat and Scotty goes, you went blind. And I've lost it. And he's not even offended, though. He's like, because he could have been like, yeah, obviously. Yeah. So you can't see anything.
No. No, I cannot.
Is your hearing improved, like a Daredevil situation?
Obviously not, because I haven't heard any of the thing happening in the backyard this whole last movie.
His whole fence fell over and shit.
Yeah.
I love how he's so nice about it, too. Like, you destroyed my property, almost killed my dog. Come inside. I'm lonely.
He's like, yeah, no, you just caused like $20,000 to my, you know, to my property and damage, but... Come on, I'll give you like a worth, like a completely priceless artifact in baseball history. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, in his defense, he couldn't tell what they did to his backyard.
That's true.
He just thought there were just kids in his backyard.
That's right. He hasn't found that out yet.
Maybe. Well, because like at the end, so he gives them the trade. He's like, hey, I'll give you this ball with all of the Yankees have signed it, and I'll keep your shitty, you know, beast ridden
torn baseball. Up one.
The deal is that you come and talk baseball with me once a week. And then when we get the epilogue where the narrator's telling us what happened to all the kids, he never mentions that they actually made good on that deal. So maybe we didn't see the deleted scene where like the next day he goes outside, he's like, son of a bitch. Goddamn kids destroyed my backyard, almost killed my dog. And I gave them my ball.
And kids are mean. And so they may have never showed up. Like every Sunday he's like, hello.
I love James Earl Jones, though, and you're right. Like, just seeing him being so spry, like, I love his little, George, he was all right. I would have beat his record, too, if I didn't have the incident, you know?
Yeah. And it's so sad. Like, he was a professional baseball player, like, got hit in the head with a ball, went blind. He's obviously a happy guy. He's doing well. But it's just, the energy and charisma of that character is so sweet and protective. And he's got that voice, obviously, that iconic deep voice. And it's so comforting to hear. Mm-hmm. It's such a good ending to this movie. And the whole irony that if they had just asked. And that's a good lesson for kids, I think. Like, you went through all of this, all this fear and trauma and bullshit, instead of just knocking on the door and asking for your ball back. And he would have loved the company. What do you think is your favorite scene from this movie, Will? If you had to pick one.
I think it's like when, like it's just after the 4th of July. Like, I love the whole fireworks. Everybody is like this. They're stopping. Benny's running around the base. Everybody's looking up at the fireworks. And then it goes right into like the next day and like Green Onions by Booker T comes on and everybody, like, he hops the fence and we start going. It's like, we're constantly on the run trying to get this dog. I like the cut between with like what's in the movie theater and him running around and then they jump through the movie theater.
Oh yeah.
Like that whole like 15-minute sequence of like the 4th of July till Patriots Day, I think. It's like that whole like 20 minutes of the movie is definitely my favorite part for sure.
That movie with Mark Wahlberg about the bombing in Boston?
Oh Jesus.
Patriot Day. I'm not Canadian. I'm not American. What is Patriots Day? Like
I don't know.
I watched this for the first. No? Okay.
None of us care.
Yeah, that's one of those holidays that are on the calendar, and we all just kind of like, what is this?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to do something?
It's like Arbor Day. I know you guys do that, right? Arbor Day. kind of same in the same
yeah.
vein.
Yeah, there's like American yeah. holidays and then there's American holidays. Are you Googling Patriots Day?
I am, because I'm curious. Like, it is not a public holiday. Therefore, the government offices, educational institutions, and businesses do not close on this day. That's why no one really celebrates it, because like no one gives a shit.
No one gets off work.
I don't get off work. I can't drink and party. This isn't even worth a. This isn't worth my time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
and we already fair. Have like Veterans Day and Memorial Day and.
Yeah, there's the lots of American ones. That's what I'm saying.
We don't need a Gravy Seals Day. All right.
I think that's a great scene to pull out, though, Will. The night game. It's really interesting what they do to Benny in that scene. It's almost kind of not sad because he becomes a rich and famous person, but it's interesting that they took the time to do that, to point out that all of the other kids love baseball, but Benny lived baseball. He didn't. He was yeah. a kid that didn't even care about the fireworks, you know. And all the other kids are mesmerized by the fireworks, but Benny's just running the bases. Mm-hmm. Like, he never stops. Like, he's obsessed. And this is my own whatever. Idiosyncratic mental illness and my obsession with certain things, maybe, but like the way I watch that scene, I'm like, that kid's got focus. He's going somewhere. He's going to be somebody.
He's going to be a star.
All you other lazy nuts watching the fireworks. Look at him. He's working.
He's going to be a jet.
Yeah. I just think that's fascinating that they depicted it that way. And it's almost kind of sad because he didn't get to like be a kid. But he did have the ghost of Babe Ruth himself.
Mm-hmm. Visit him in his dreams. Yeah.
Yeah. Played by Art LaFleur. Excellently, I might add. I got jazzed up by it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Put on your Chuck Taylors. They make you fast, even though they have no art supports. Or, like, as an adult, that's funny that he needed his sweet Chucks to run extra fast, because those are terrible running shoes.
The Flyers.
Yeah.
I love watching old. It's so funny to me, because baseball is one of those sports. You watch baseball now, and everyone's, like, so athletic. And, you know, they train all year. They fucking play all year.
Back then
it's like, yeah, I'm 45, I got lung cancer, and I eat ribs, nothing but ribs all day every day.
I'm doing it right now.
And also I'm addicted to meth.
I didn't have meth yet.
Or what was the opium? I'm doing all the opium.
Damn, you went straight opium.
Yeah. But somehow you could still like, you could look like Babe Ruth and be like a sports legend. And it always cracks me up. Like, here comes Art LaFleur, 50-year-old Art LaFleur, like, hey, I'm Babe Ruth in my prime.
That's true. Run. That's why I hit homers, so I can jog. Yeah.
That's why I point it that way, like, ball's going that way, so I don't got to go around this dumbass diamond.
That was impressive, though, that he did that.
Oh, yeah, for you sure. Know?
Said right where it was going. Boom. Mm-hmm. Like, yesterday I was playing Fortnite with my son. And I was like, we're going to win this time, Mason. And we didn't. We died. We were the first team out. But then I said, actually, I meant this one. And then we won that game. And he was like, Dad, you called it. That's how hard that is, because even that was impressive.
I've got the gift, boy.
This episode was brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, you know what's good for you, but your brain gets in the way and you just can't quite pull it off. Like when you're trying to fall asleep at night, you know, you got to get up at 7 a.m. You got to work. You want to go to the gym before work. But at 3 a.m., you're just thinking about hippopotamuses, hippopotami. I don't know how to pluralize it. It doesn't matter. You get the idea. So sometimes your brain's getting in its own way. You know what you should do, what's good for you, but you just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You can help find the blocks in your life that are getting in your way, and BetterHelp can get you there. It can match you up with a licensed therapist to help meet your needs. If you don't like your therapist, you can switch free of charge at any time. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
It's October, and along with the scares, we're bringing our own appreciation for the patrons of Streaming Things, the super patrons especially. We want to give them a special shout out for the month of October. Thank you so much to Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason
Jason Hawkins, Butthorn, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun, Loving, Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much, and back to the show.
But it takes you back, you know, like the summer pool. The pool was a time alive.
We got
to
talk about the pool scene. Yeah, because you're right. The pool is the community pool is so integral, I think, to a young person's upbringing. I had a community pool that I went to. Did you guys go to a community pool in the summer?
I had a pool at my apartment complex.
There was like 1,000 people that lived in the town that I grew up in. So there was one friend that had a pool, and like that was it.
That was
nobody
the community
else
pool.
In the city had a pool. That was the community pool. It was my friend's house, and that was it. Yeah,
we had a pool that was it was a community pool. You had to have like a membership or something to go to it, but it was right next to my school, and so my mom, you know, was by it was just my mom raising me pretty much, and so what she would do is like she over the summer I would go to like soccer practice. And soccer practice would end and the field was like right next door to the community pool. So from like 9 to 12, I would practice in the morning and then go to that pool and just hang out by myself until like 5 p.m. when my mom got off work to come pick me up.
You probably had a tan.
I did. It was like, hey, you know what? 14, 15 year old Steve looking fly.
You were crispy.
Oh, yeah. When my first pubes came in, it was on, buddy. No, I'm kidding. But I would go there all the time and like I didn't really have any friends, but like, you know, there's other kids there.
Sure.
And so there was just that like gaggle of people running around, like making up stories like, what do you think that lifeguard's doing? Oh, there's the one with shades. I wonder what shades is up to today. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff.
You're going to get the cheese touch. You know, that whole thing.
What was that line he says? Like, I'm baking like a toasted cheeser. It's so hot in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I really loved the fact that like they all go to the community pool. It is kind of funny that these, I don't know, how old do you think they are supposed to be? Like 11, 12?
It's the summer between 5th and 6th grade. Yeah, so they're like 10 and 11, which is kind of wild.
It's just funny to me, like, especially Ham, like walks like down the line of the pool honeys, as they call them.
Yeah.
Walks down the line. He's like, hey, ladies, get ready to watch this. Blow him kisses. And then when he goes cannonball, his voice screeches like the little boy that he is. It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I think my favorite thing with Ham is the s'more scene, and I love the
iconic
s'more what?
Yeah,
like
it's kind of like a meta who's on first, you know, the baseball joke version of the s'mores thing. Classic though.
Yeah,
this is probably the movie that taught all of us what s'mores were. Are s'mores a staple snack in Canada?
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, for sure it is. And it's definitely a lot thanks to this movie. But also, like, we're all campers up here, so we all, you know, have campfires all the time. So that's just it's a staple up here, for sure. Yeah.
Bunch of campers up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We cottage country and camping, hanging out in the wilderness, eating s'mores and playing baseball. So. Yeah.
How many moose do you see on a year on average?
I actually saw two moose this year.
See
so
what I'm
you know what?
See what I'm saying, Steve? You laugh.
I can send you the picture. I can send you the picture.
Please do.
When you go to work, do they pay you in money or maple syrup?
Mm.
We get our tip out in maple syrup.
What other offensive Canadian things can we throw out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the moose, the maple syrup, and you see Mounties every once in a while.
Ooh, Mounties.
The Mountie always gets his.
The last one I saw, Brendan Fraser was the last Mountie I saw. And the last moose I saw was 2007's Into the Wild. That movie. It was a moose.
I almost made a terrible joke, but I refrained.
I'm proud of you. That's
Thank
growth.
You. Thank you.
That's how Scotty of you.
Thank you. Very Scotty of me.
I didn't go to the pool that much, as you can tell by my skin tone and stuff. And I was, a little nervous in my bathing suit. Usually at Steve's house while he was at the pool. Yeah. With Carol.
Like two ships passing in that with Carol. What were you and Carol doing?
I'd be like, it's time to ring the bell, honey. I'm going to head out.
Let the boy come back home. Papa's done his business. Dad?
I'm back.
Oh, after all this time.
I went out to get the milk.
So the pool scene, Squints is, he's had a plan. He's been planning this for years.
Yeah, man.
He fakes his own drowning.
I've been planning that for years.
He fakes his own drowning so that Wendy Peppercorn gives him mouth-to-mouth. Poor CPR, by the way, just as like someone who works in healthcare and has seen the proper CPR etiquette.
Not only that, but if he's really pretending, that would actively be very hurtful to him to get CPR while breathing and awake, right?
Yeah.
Also, couldn't they tell he was breathing? If they're going to perform CPR, you got to check that.
She never did the compressions,
right?
Which is the most important part of CPR. And I think modern CPR classes tell you not even do the mouth-to-mouth part. It's all compression now. And I think I could be wrong on that. But
we've got a lot of medical personnel on our patrons.
They'll chime in and knock me down for sure. that boy.
Also, it could have backfired and like George could have been the one doing the mouth to mouth.
The original lifeguard that helped them up. People like, let me get in there. Oh no, my plans. That actor, Chauncey Lepardi, who plays Squints. That goofy, like, dumb little smile face he does looks like Steve-O from Jackass.
It looks very much like Steve-O.
So when he wakes up and gives him the wink, I'm like, Steve-O, how'd you get in there in child form?
The Jackass theme song. I couldn't do it. Magic
moment.
But definitely a bold move.
Oh, so good.
No, for sure. Yeah.
And then
you're a kid.
And he's in deep shit, like, immediately after.
Throws them out bouncer style, like they got kicked out of a club.
But the thing that makes the scene weirdest and thus the most iconic is that Wendy dug it.
she smiles
at him outside the fence, like, and then ends up marrying him. Like, she never gets it out of
they
her
have
mind.
Nine children. Squints fucks. All right.
Yeah. I think that's the kid's eye view of the fairy tale, the fantasy of it all is like, especially how everything ends up at the end. Which one of the kids ends up
getting lost to the 60s?
Yeah. Oh, that was
that's Bertram.
Bertram.
Yeah, Bertram. I wrote it all down. Yeah, that was Bertram. Never seen again. Yeah.
Just those damn hippies took him.
Fun fact, that actor later on played in the TV show The 60s.
Really?
Yeah. Which is kind of funny.
That's where he got lost to.
Yeah. I do appreciate, because most movies, when they do that sort of epilogue thing where, don't you forget about me is playing in the background and they update you on like where everybody ended up. I do appreciate that there's one person like this friend we had. I don't know. We just lost contact with him. He could be dead somewhere. No one knows.
I mean, this is before Facebook. You can't just look.
Right. But I mean, even today, like I have friends, or there were people in my life that I have friends with. I have friends. Yeah. I'm sitting with my two best friends right now. But I have friends when I was younger that like I lost contact with, and I have no idea what happened to them. I have no, like, I don't even know where to even begin if I wanted to look for them.
They got lost to the 60s.
They got lost to the 60s.
I get it. It happens to the best of us.
But yeah, the other kids. Yep. So like Scotty grew up obviously to be a sports commentator. Mm-hmm. Benny played
sports. The Jets with a sweet stash.
Oh, there's a really funny edit where he does the pickle, he steals, and like Scotty's up in the booth like, yeah, I can't believe it. And then it just smash cuts to Benny going, yeah.
Oh,
like,
the thumbs the up. Most it's
aggressive thumbs
it's
up.
It's so
ever.
Brutal. It's yeah. Giving you're pushing too many pencils, like the yeah. The clasp of the hands,
the bicep, yeah,
yeah. But he also misses a high five in the announcer booth.
He does, yeah.
And they left that take in because, like, fuck it, it's Scotty.
Yeah, it's Scotty. I mean, it's appropriate that Scotty would miss that.
I had to rewind it. I was like, did he miss the high five? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
But got shipped off to military school and then pioneered the bungee jump. Because of course he did.
Yeah, and then Timmy and Tommy invented mini malls. What's a mini mall? Is that an American thing?
How do you invent mini malls?
Yeah.
So a mini mall is just basically like
it's a small mall.
It's just a tiny little mall. Like it's not.
It's like a strip mall.
Yeah.
You got a few. Yeah, and you got a few stores instead of a mall's worth.
Yeah. Okay. It's just like a strip mall. Right. Basically.
And he invented the bungee jump. Yeah, did because of what was happening trying to get the ball when they dangled him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get the ball. Yeah.
Squints grew up, married Wendy, as we mentioned, had 9 kids, and then bought the Vincent's drugstore that they were always hanging out at.
I want to see the sequel that's just Squints and Wendy and their kids who have an entire baseball team just in their family.
So Kit.
Oh, no.
Will, I don't even know if Will might even be aware of this. So did you guys know there are 2 sequels to Sandlot?
No.
Yeah, there I did. I've refused to watch them.
You refuse to watch them?
I refuse to watch them.
Okay, so I looked up the synopsis of both movies on IMDb because I'm not going to watch them either. But The Sandlot 2 came out in 2005. This is the synopsis. It reads, a film about a group of young baseball enthusiasts who test the terrifying myth of Mr. Myrtle owning a freakishly large and dangerous dog in his backyard. So it basically sounds like they just remade The Sandlot
right.
in 2005. The third movie sounds fucking wild. The third movie is called The Sandlot Heading Home. It's from 2007. The synopsis is thus. Successful, arrogant, baseball superstar, Tommy Santa Santarelli travels back in time to 1976 and relives his boyhood days on the Sandlot baseball team and has the chance to this time choose friendship over glory. So it is a time traveling movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
What
makes it a sequel though? Who's Tommy?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just called The Sandlot.
You can't just call a movie that it's the sequel because there's other lots of sand.
Yeah.
I'm angry.
Well, it's like the Home Alone sequels 3 and 4. Like it doesn't include any of the original actors or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it includes the premise. Of being home alone.
Yeah, I guess.
I get what you're saying.
Alone, right?
Yeah.
There's also a bunch of short films that have been made called Oh, Squints. The most recent of which came out in 2018. And then I have to pull this one up because it's slightly different. So Tom.
Babe Ruth?
Tom Geary, who plays Scotty. That guy's actually still an actor and he's like in a bunch of stuff. Last year he was in I guess you would call it a short film. It's 55 minutes long. It's a movie called Killing Smalls.
Oh no. Is it a horror film?
It's a comedy, but here's the synopsis for that one. A mob family that is not earning like they did in the past comes up with this crazy idea after watching the movie Stealing a Survivor to kidnap someone famous for ransom. After picking their target, Tom Geary, known as Smalls from The Sandlot, they enlist the help of the director Stealing a Survivor to consult them on how to kidnap a celebrity. So
that's fun.
This movie, The Sandlot, has spawned some of the wildest
spin-offs,
sequels, whatever you want.
The spoof where like an earnest like takes itself seriously horror film where it's called You're Killing Me, Smalls, where Smalls is a serial killer, like a Norman Bates kind of suburban killer.
Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like we got to talk about
the beast? We have to, right?
Don't ask me what kind of dog it is. St. Bernard?
What kind of dog is it? It's not a St. Bernard.
Bull Mastiff.
Oh, yeah. It is a Mastiff.
Or something like that?
It's some type of Mastiff. An English Mastiff.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a Mastiff.
Don't be throwing your bowls in my yard.
I've got 150 bowls, Governor.
Keep your cricket bats away from me. But I love how, like, the whole movie, they make this dog seem so and it's perfect because, you know, this is the mythology that these little boys are creating. Like, there's this spooky sounding dog on the other side of this fence. Oh, my gosh, it's probably 50 feet tall. It's got I love the puppet stuff, like the puppet hands.
Oh, the one that, like, swipes the ball.
The puppet mouth, like the hands that, like, crush the thieves and stuff. And, like, Squint's whole, like, backstory about how his, like, great grandfather was the police chief. Keep that dog locked up forever. And this dog is at least 20 years old.
We live to be 199. Even in dog years.
What's 199 in dog years?
199 divided by 7. It's 28.
Holy shit. Well, I mean, the eldest dog in the world recently passed away, I think, last month, and that dog was 31, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, I guess that's within the realm of possibility that he was that old, but
I guess so.
Holy shit. One of my favorite things about this movie is when I think it's the erector set that actually gets to the ball and then has like a catapult.
Yes. And then the dog
jumps up and snakes it out of the air.
Yeah. And throws the whole set over the fence.
But it's this like big puppet dog mouth that grabs it.
They trained it.
I love all of the attempts. Like, they're all so funny. They start with just like the broom handle trying to get it back, and then they get a metal rod with the cooking pot on it, and then like they do the vacuum with like the explosion of course there's every 90s movie has to have an explosion in it, and it's the treehouse getting blown up, which I thought was great.
And I love how
all the vacuum.
How Benny the Jet Rodriguez does full on like front flips off of their treehouse over the fence. Like, that would break so many bones.
Yep.
It would. And that's what they deserve.
That's what they deserve, damn it.
I love the Charlie Chaplin style wedding cake bit. Out of nowhere, there's just this like physical comedy. It's kind of. It doesn't fit the tone of the rest of the movie at all, but I'm like, okay, we're doing this now. Pee Wee Herman all of a sudden. I'm here. All right, whatever.
The thing that makes it fun, it makes it funny is the chefs or the bakers set the cake down like, ooh, that was close.
Yeah, they do the whole 1930s like, I'm here for it. Yeah. What's that movie we watched? The famous, the Groucho Marx style stuff, you know? Kinda.
Yeah, that wasn't Duck Soup, was it?
No.
No, that was the other one.
Yeah.
Night at the Opera.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, Hercules, the big dog, the beast named Hercules, ends up being just a friendly dog that just needs some love. He gets trapped under the fence. They help him up. And then it just, like, goes to town on Scotty's face.
Yeah.
Which, apparently, the way they did that was, so if you remember the way they shot it, Scotty is in complete profile looking at the beast. And on the side of Scotty's face that isn't camera facing is just slathered with Gerber baby food.
Really?
And so that's why. So they give the dog the command to start licking him. And that's why the dog just fucking goes to town on this kid's face.
That's terrible.
Let's go to town on it. Yeah. I like when they were like wearing all the army helmets and stuff like that, when they were doing the man versus machine thing. Like, they all had like their army helmets and everybody's got like walkie talkies and they've got like the binoculars and stuff. For some reason, the Wheaties box looked like a box of marbles. And I had to pause it because I was like, there's no fucking way that they made that out of marble boxes, like cigarette. it was just Wheaties cereal, you know?
Well, they did have the tobacco chew that they all took before getting on the spinny ride.
Those spinny rides make me puke anyway. I threw up on one of those.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was one of the worst experiences of my life. I was with my friend Kyle and his brother Ryan, who ended up being a prominent extra in the original Avengers movie, by the way. Oh. Like, I'll point him out to you one time.
Prominent extra.
Well, I mean, it zooms in on him and like for 3 seconds, it's just him. You know, wow. I'm like, dang. Yeah, and we went in one of the, he took us to a fair. And the reason it was one of the worst days of my life is because it's like, I don't even know these kids that well. Like, oh, no. It was like one of the first times I hung out with Kyle and Ryan. And like, I definitely didn't know their dad, who seemed really nice and cool. And I was always like that kid that would, like I said, I swam with my shirt on. I was always sunburned. I eat the grass and puke. Like, I don't know how to warm my hands up from the snow. I'm just that fucking kid, you know. I shit my pants all the time. I don't know why.
You
know,
so like, you did that yesterday.
That's a different story. That was not my fault. So
that was Taco Bell.
It was. So it really was. So I go to this fair and they put us on this, like, it's the kind where they like, not that kind of ride, but they strap you to the wall standing up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and
it just
spins. And I fucking throw up in the ride.
No.
So like over all over everyone else and all over myself.
Oh no.
And I'm like covered in vomit. You know what I mean? Yeah. I come out and Kyle's dad's like, oh, what the fuck? You know, he's like, we're pretty early on in the fair trip. But he was so cool.
I just parked.
Like, he tried to get some security guard to give me a towel or something. And the guy was being like nonchalant about it. And he started cussing him out and shit, like defending me. And he was super cool to me about it.
Oh, but, that's sweet.
So my whole point is, yeah, that's I can good. Imagine. I don't know if you guys have ever used chewing tobacco or like a dip or anything like that.
No.
It is really gross. It's really difficult to stomach. And you're not supposed to swallow it, right? So kids don't know what they're doing. Oh, my God. They would have vomited anyway. And then they threw the ride. Like, this scene is uncomfortable for me. I'm like, whoa.
Chewing tobacco was always one of those things where I never understood why people would do that. Like,
baseball.
There are like drugs, right? Like, hey, I don't do a hard drug, but I can understand, like, oh, it makes you feel good or see things or whatever. Sure. But chewing tobacco is like, that looks fucking gross.
Yeah.
No, thank you. My ex's dad used to, because he chewed tobacco. But whenever he would come over to our house, he always had those like little plastic Dixie cups with him. And that's what he would spit in.
Yeah, you got to have a spit cup.
He just had that on him. And he, as a practical joke, it gave him much amusement. As a practical joke, anytime he visited us, he would hide his spit cup somewhere in our place for us to find later.
That's like, a terrible joke.
He would purposely like, let me put it around this framed portrait of the family. They'll never find that.
That's gross.
Like literally when we moved out of that place, I was finding spit cups. Like, what the fuck?
It's disgusting. My friend
That's
always
really
used a
gross.
Water yeah. bottle. He dipped. A lot of dipping up in Canada? I'd imagine there would be.
There's not like, it's like around, but most people like they drive to the States to get it because you can't really get it here.
Huh.
So it's a lot of it's like imported from like America. It's people mostly just smoke weed and smoke cigarettes, really.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Like,
it's not really like chewing tobacco.
That's better. Cigarettes are nice.
Yeah.
Less offensive habit. Mm-hmm. You know, just smoke.
Yeah.
That's what I used to tell people. Just smoke.
Just smoke. That's the official stance.
That's
of
what
streaming
I told my son watching the movie. I was just smoke.
here's some Camels.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. George signed this. You went blind. Sorry.
you just went James Earl Jones on us. You just like manifested his spirit.
I looked out at my notes and I love that line where you went blind. When that's something a kid would do, though, you know, you just call it out like, fuck it. Great movie.
The scene with the chewing tobacco is the Hey Tequila song.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good set. Like, and it's just up and down and up at the end. Then it's just, you see them coming out of it and they're just completely soaked and they're vomiting.
They all have the same color vomit. Yeah. But I also love that first they're having a great time and you can see it kind of kick in for everybody at the same time. That's how it goes. First, you're like, I'm a grown up.
And then you're like, oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not.
And then you vomit.
I did that, though. I snuck cigarettes from my mom and like I tried a cigar. I didn't know you weren't supposed to inhale cigars, right? Because you're doing something you're not supposed to do. So nobody's teaching you and you get really sick. And I grew up in a time just after where like if your parents caught you smoking again, this didn't happen to me, but it was like they just quit doing this where if your parents caught you smoking, they would make you smoke an entire carton.
Oh,
to like Pavlovian, like make you hate cigarettes forever.
Yeah,
it's really funny to imagine that now.
It's like
a cop pulls up and there's a dad lighting a cigarette with another cigarette for a kid. Oh, caught him smoking, huh?
Here, take my pack too.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it makes sense because, like,
that's hilarious.
It's kind of like, there's always someone who's like, oh, I can't do tequila. I had a really bad experience with tequila when I was in college. Oh, you drank too much tequila at a party?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's what that, it makes sense why people would think that would work, but also it's like, you're a kid. Light him up, Johnny.
Yeah. He just got me addicted to nicotine.
Yeah.
Now I need it. And it was my favorite brand. Good times. Good times. Well, Will, is there anything else you want to pull out from this movie that maybe we didn't touch on, or any scenes that are special to you that we kind of skipped over? I want to give you a thorough experience.
Like, it's like, obviously the reason why we get the whole entire, the beast with Smalls is because Smalls hits his first home run. That was a huge pivotal moment for him. And then they're all like, yeah. And he's walking and he sees it goes over and he's just like, fuck. Like that, like, I've had that moment in my life where, like, I've done something where I shouldn't have done it, and then it escalates way out of my control, and then you're just sitting there and, like, that guilt, like, I see that on his face, like, and, like, that resonated a lot with me. Like, I was using one of my dad's drills and I accidentally left it on the back of his car, and then he drove away and he lost the drill, and it was like a $200 like DeWalt drill, whatever. This was like in the, you know, so a lot of money back in like the early 2000s.
Sure.
And just like, yeah, just, oh my God. I took something that I wasn't supposed to take and then I lost it. And now I have to try
that
to
drill
figure
was
out
signed
how to,
by Bob Vila.
Yeah. Right. Or, you know, just, yeah, like, you know, so that resonated with me a lot, was like taking something that you're not supposed to, getting in a lot of trouble because you've fucked it up, and then having to like live with the repercussions of it. I always thought that was really funny. And then the signing the fake ball, we'd like, when I was in school, we'd always have to get our parents to sign our agendas every week.
Yeah.
And if I didn't get the good grades that I wanted, I would try to forge my mom's signature. And it never looked the same every week. And so it came to the point where they'd have to call my mom and be like, yeah, like, Will, stop signing your mom's signatures on these things. So I always thought that was really funny, too, is trying to pass a fake ball of like with the fake signature, because he has it at the end of the movie. He has the fake ball signed, the real one, and then the 1920s, all of the Yankees, like in his little sporting booth thing there. So I always thought that was really cool. Kind of like the whole full circle with it. But other than that, like, yeah, you talked on the little clown cake thing. Like, I always thought that was just like a super random scene to have in it too. And that's pretty much, yeah, like, I don't know. That's pretty much it. Like, this movie was great. I thoroughly enjoy like all of the memories that I came with it. Like I said, I grew up in a town, a lot of people. There's 8 or 9 of us, including my brothers, that all would just play baseball. We'd all, you know, kickball or whatever it was, Guns and Robbers and stuff like that. Yeah. So it was fun. I thoroughly enjoyed the nostalgia of this movie and like where it takes me back in my childhood for sure.
Yeah, there's something really on top of all the humor, there's something inherently wholesome about the idea. Like it says in the very beginning, when Scotty's just kind of really intrigued by the group of friends and really wants to be a part of it, the narrator talks about how they never kept score. They didn't play to pick teams.
Yeah.
They were just playing to play. They like the game. They're having fun. It's one 10-year long game that never ends until we talked
about like every baseball season. Am I right?
Until the ostensibly rich kids show up because they're in uniform. You know what I mean?
So cleats.
It's kind of like a class warfare thing, which I do love. And Ham and Phillips start throwing insults at each other. And the movie,
you pop for apples in the toilet and you like it.
The movie does something really interesting. Like there's something stereotypical would be to have them lose that game, or at least for it to be a challenge and like really draw it out. And have like, that would be more cinematic to have them like narrowly win that game and have one of the characters pull it off or something. Specifically, that would have been a great time for Smalls to actually do something.
Yeah.
And like for him to hit his first home run in that moment. Like, oh my God, you saved the day. Now you're part of the crew for real. That would be the stereotypical, almost better thing to do. But I love that they had them just summarily destroy those kids.
Destroy them.
Even Smalls just hits it like They're just better players.
Fuck you guys. Yeah. And I love Cam just completely smack talking everybody as the ump.
Yeah.
Like, that's so funny. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing.
Is that your sister having the third base?
Yeah.
They should go out with me.
Why is she naked?
Yeah.
I think I wanted to point this out. I'm glad you said that before we go. That's the most unbelievable thing about this is now that I have to watch so much baseball and play so much baseball with my son, the fact that there's no umpire. It would be so impossible to have this game between these two kids who hate each other, these two teams of kids who hate each other.
Yeah.
Like when he slides.
I was safe.
Yeah. Like, oh, you were you? Like, you know what I mean? Like that would be a 10-hour argument that would never end with actual kids, especially ones that didn't like each other. And how does it work without an umpire? Like if you're pitching, like who strike? No, that was a ball. Like you just, who says what? You know what I mean? Like it just does not work without somebody to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me.
Well, you see, in the 60s, people were just better.
Well, it's either a strike these or you hit it, I imagine.
Are so entitled and they get their participation trophies.
That's right, Steve.
Back then, we called a ball, and a strike a strike.
Saruman the Wise talking about baseball.
It was about states' rights. he gave me the pickle.
I also wanted to read this message we got on Instagram about our Jurassic Park coverage. I don't know if you listened to our Jurassic Park episode, Will, but some corrections and elucidation. This comes in from Spencer. Thank you so much for sending this message.
Spence. But spare no expenser.
That's right. But he said, hey, I just listened to your Jurassic Park episode. I absolutely loved it so much. And I love your guys' coverage of my favorite movies. I'm an undergrad applying to grad school for paleontology. And I wanted to shed some light on some things. One, dinosaurs with feathers are super cool and awesome and scary, too. So he was just jabbing that in there. Don't make fun of the feathered dinosaurs. Number two, Brontosaurus was considered a false genus for around 100 years. But now we have done more phylogenetic analysis and learned that there are enough difference between it and the Apatosaurus. So Brontosaurus is now a valid genus.
A false genus sounds like something Ham would have called that rich kid.
Yeah, false genus.
Yeah, false genus.
Number three.
Yeah, it's exactly.
The study you're looking at about Triceratops not being valid anymore was just one study, and the evidence presented wasn't very concrete or substantial, and many, if not most, paleontologists do not back that claim. And to Torosaurus is its own genus. Also, not paleo remark, Tim limped up to the dessert table, so it happened after the electric fence incident.
Vindication!
I mean this in no way to be snarky or like I know more than you. I just want it to spread some joy.
Oh, Spencer, let's be snarky together. Let's be snarky together.
All I got from all of that is we don't know very much about dinosaurs. We're still arguing about which ones existed at all.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much for sending that in.
Yeah, that was great.
That actually warms my heart to know that Triceratops is still potentially a very real dinosaur.
And Brontosaurus has been resurrected from the dead.
It's one of the best characters from Land Before Time.
Sarah?
You can't just take Sarah out of it.
Oh, 100%.
Of course, Ducky is the best.
Ducky's the best. Yep.
Piece,
right?
Yep.
Not Petrie?
Dude, Petrie's
Ducky.
Nobody likes Petrie.
Ducky.
He's definitely telling on the other dinosaurs at school and shit. Oh, 100%.
I mean, I love Petrie, but dude's a snitch for sure.
Ducky didn't get a hall pass.
I'm going to tell the adults. And he flies away.
I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Yep. And Spike's just selling weed outside.
Oh, Spike's
skipping class.
Yeah. He's munching on them spiky fucking. Yeah, he's got the green and he's eating the green.
Why can all of these dinosaurs talk? But Spike, who is also a dinosaur, is basically like their dog. Is he just like a low IQ friend of theirs that they're not, that they take care of?
My headcanon was Spike, even though he was big, was younger than all of them. And so he hadn't developed the
speech
yet.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I also haven't seen any of the 15 sequels, so maybe he started
That's explained. I don't think so. Anyway, I didn't mean to take us on a Land Before Time tangent. If you want to reach out to us about corrections or anything, you can email the show streamingthingspod@gmail.com or go to our Instagram and DM us there. You can also go to streamingthingspod.com to find links to all of our stuff. If you'd like to have us review your favorite movie or be on the episode with us even.
Like Land Before Time.
Yeah, we could do that. Yep. You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe at a variety of tiers. But if you want to be on the show, you're going to have to do that case two, patron saint of Streaming Things tier.
You got to be like Will.
All hail case two, by
and
the
Will.
Way. Will, Will, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
It means a lot to us that you stuck with us for so long. Is there anything you want to plug? Any work of yours or any, you know, charities or
causes?
Your MySpace link?
Yeah, I got a little comedy album on Spotify called The Inconsequential Seminole by Will Nash. Check that out. It's a 20-minute little EP that I recorded just before the pandemic. Hasn't gotten a lot of traction, but I like it. I think it's really fun and funny. Yeah. So check that out for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've actually listened to his record, and the Beyblades joke still makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate you. And we appreciate all of you listeners so much. Have a great week. Hopefully we got some great news for you coming soon. But as we record this, I do not know yet. But just fingers, cross your fingers there. But that's all the time we've got for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.